Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip.
I do love that intro. Yeah. I'm just like sitting there doing this to the intro.
Yeah, I was very specific about the music. That's what gets people is the music and that hook. So I love our trailer.
Oh yeah, I think it's freaking awesome.
All right, well, welcome back to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We, Chris, have skipped a couple weeks now in our cadence, but for good reason. We have been traveling and launching things and taking care of business, but and gathering spam. So that's been fun. Don't choke on water there. But yeah, we missed last week. Both of us were at some hopping events. Tell me a little bit about where you were.
I was up in Canada land. It was actually rather fantastic. I was hanging out. So a company called CyberX put on conference up in Canada, and absolutely freaking fantastic. I flew up on like the afternoon of day one. I did a keynote on day two. Then I did an unplugged session. So when I finished, what I love about it in this one, it's kind of like the way they do Gurkhan and a couple of others. They, in this case, they closed the doors for the official conference at like 4:30-ish. And then they invited like 650 other people in for just Q&A, and it was mostly students and just folks, you know, early stage career folks. So we had a riot. We had an absolute ton of fun. They had a live band, they had a DJ. They paused it for a while at about 7:30. I did a full unplugged session. And then we sat down. We found somewhere to go sit down, have alcohol, kick back and relax. And yeah, absolutely just fantastic. Just good feelings, great questions, amazing folks, amazing team that was putting it on. Huge kudos. Love what about it. You? You were causing chaos up in your neck of the woods.
Oh my goodness. Like last minute chaos. It was last minute chaos. I always get confused between CyberTech and Cyber Week. There were so many cybers. But it was a great show, CyberTech. I don't even know how many vendors were there, but a lot of great contacts. You know, I came out to the show. We had Victoria from Colity came over and was quite successful.
Oh yes, she said she was going to come over.
Shout out to Colity. Yeah, they were really successful. They came back with more business than they can handle. So I'm excited about that. We had Dimitri. Yeah, we had Dimitri come over, flew him out, and we had our first live workshop for the CISO Value Distillery, which was really exciting and successful. Met a lot of great people, met a lot of really cool, you know, CISOs, really cool vendors, you know, came out with some potential, you know, partnerships. So it was a lot of fun. It was just really good to hang out finally after quite some time. Yeah, Victoria is great. Meryl. Hey, Meryl. Meryl's on. And why are we a third connection on LinkedIn? I don't even know why we're a third connection on LinkedIn. That's weird. Anyway. All right. So lots of good stuff. We're also folks, you know, before we go live, just so you know, Chris and I hang out about 15 minutes before the call, and we've been chatting up for a few months now on some cool ideas to meet in person. So we're thinking about some cool collabs coming up. So keep your ears and eyes out.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's come looking forward to it. It should be kind of fun.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So I didn't get any prep material before this session. I feel like it's going to be a great surprise. Do we have anything juicy for the teardown? Let's just get right into it. Yes.
Oh my gosh. We got so much freaking stuff for the teardown. I mean, you're right. We've got a bunch. We have a bunch. I think the overall theme, though, and I chucked a LinkedIn post out about it yesterday afternoon, around about lunchtime. I think I kicked it out yesterday. The overall theme here is one of, I wouldn't say it's just about time, but I think it's also very much about fairness, equality, and a whole bunch of other stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a number of things. LinkedIn, I think, is, you know, it's interesting. I tend not to keep all the LinkedIn spam on here. I tend to keep only the spam that comes into the inbox. And the spam that comes into the inbox is typically very, very, it's very, very similar, very, very templated. Perfect example, we got one here from the business development manager. Hi, my name is, you know, Jennifer, and I work for a high performance, quick to easy use head of iProcess. Our core products are blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, whoa. You know, and then you go to another one. So I pick up the one right above it. Hi, Chris, my name is, you know, Bastin, and I work for this company, and I've worked with similar companies in aviation and aerospace, and I thought I'd reach out. And you keep going on, there's another one. Good afternoon, Chris, reaching out again to see if backup and disaster recovery options are on your radar for 23. If they weren't, we'd have some other problems, you know. And I think it's really interesting because another one, hey, we'd love to have an early note to start discussing and explore the values we can add to Boom as a tech partner. Thinly veiled disguised as open your damn checkbook, we want some of your money. And these are coming in daily. And then you get onto LinkedIn, and I mean, you know, if I open up my LinkedIn, oh, I've got us on LinkedIn. Let me, how do I get rid of them? How do I get rid of us on LinkedIn? Let me just close us down on LinkedIn over here. Let me just open LinkedIn up for a second.
By the way, I'm doing an experiment because normally I post these lives through the audience first page. Today I posted through my personal account. So I'm experimenting on LinkedIn now.
And I got this one, you know, hi, Chris, after investing in the consumer space, I'd like to, you know, they want to invest in Boom. I'm like, I think you're asking the wrong person. You know, dear.
Well, are they though? Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, God. They are, I guess, yeah. But given you have, you know, maybe. Maybe
to some degree, I've got the ear, but. I mean, this one, dear, hello, Chris, I'm reaching out to discuss a possibility for both of us to work together. No, you're not. And so there's all of these, and they continue. And I think my biggest frustration on this is you're asking for my time. You're asking for me to commit time, effort, resources, setting up meetings, having conversations with you, sitting down with you. And you're asking me to read your intro, read your answer, yet you don't have the common decency to do the same thing to me first. And this is, the post was Look Before You Leap. And it was definitely one of those things where if I'm going to reach out to you, I'm at least going to do something to check on you. If I'm going to ask you a question, I'm at least going to see the research, see if you've actually answered the damn thing in the first place. If I'm going to demand, request, or ask my time, your time of me, I'm going to at least try it. I mean, good God's alive. I hit somebody up the other day and they'd sent me, you know, the standard common one. I'm like, y'all just don't even read my intro. And he's like, well, it didn't appear in the first line. I'm like, motherfucker, read line 2 and line 3. I'm like, really? This isn't buried in, you know, this isn't buried halfway down a freaking sonnet. This isn't 3/4 of the way down in my intro. This is, you know, on my LinkedIn, Chris Roberts, CISO, Boom Supersonic, Researcher, Hacker, approach carefully with tea, biscuits, Island. Don't connect and sell me something. I mean,
I'm breaking shit here.
Yeah, are you breaking the place up?
It's my strength, no, or my frustration, either one. But it's the shortcut and lazy. I don't think everybody's laziness, but I don't know. I don't have a better word for it. The laziness of that initial research, the OSINT, and understanding the customer and identifying what are the priorities, what are the business goals, and
So here's my thing. And I think it's partly that, but I also think we rely on automation too much.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is where it gets really interesting. You are using an automated process to reach me as a human. You're expecting my human response to mimic and to be authentic, yet you don't actually, you can't even be the same to me. So I think this is where an automated process fails. You know, I think this is where I have no problem with automation. I mean, we need it. Hell, we use it in our industry, for goodness sakes. Otherwise, we couldn't keep up. But I think there's a time and a place for it. And I think that's where it's gotten interesting, because we have now gotten to a point where we are relying so much on automation, we're taking the humanity out of it. And you reach into so many leadership folks and gone.
Yeah. It's not taking the humanity. It's just people turn automation on and then neglect. It's no, there's no management of the automation. That's the main problem. I don't think it's the taking human out of automation. I think automation is a supplement to getting work done. But the problem is people are neglecting it and leaving it on without actual follow-up. This applies to all tools. And oh my God, this we talked about this last week in the course, and it's just, it's exactly what we were talking about.
But it's true. You know, it's, I get the fact that in some ways you have, I mean, let's say in the US there are just, and we'll talk US centric. I don't want to talk US centric because you've got European, you've got Middle East, Far East, and so many other things. But I think, you know, if you just take the US, you've maybe got 300,000 companies that most vendors and suppliers go after. Because that's your top, that's the top cream, the companies that, you know, you can put up on the wall and everybody kind of mostly recognizes. Now you go a step back from that, you got 30 million or so small to medium businesses. And I think what happens is people are looking at that top 30,000, 300,000, whatever it is, and going, okay, how do I boil that down to 20 to 50 prospects that I know I can actually do something with? And rather than taking a step back and dunking in a spreadsheet, taking a look back, going through the LinkedIn connections, trying to figure it out, they're dumping everybody's intel they can buy, chucking it into a system and going, kill. You know, and I think that's the frustrating part about it. And I'm watching some of the questions come in, and I'm watching some of the comments on here. Matt's on here, which is absolutely fantastic. I love seeing him on here. But, you know, Mark just put an interesting thing about there. Yeah, again, Will said, I mean, it's, you know, I think this is the biggest thing about it is you can do no more than put my information into an automated database, and yet you expect me to do more than that. You expect me to actually spend time to read what you're after, to look at you, to click on your calendar, to respond to you. Yet you can't even do me the favor of reading a 3-line intro. I don't ask for anything else. Read the freaking intro. And you can't do that. And so at that point, we've lost it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the initial in, right? Initial door opener. But I want to take it further. What are some of the ways beyond doing, you know, the OSINT and looking at your profile and researching online, looking at your business? What are kind of things that, you know, practitioners, sales and marketing pros can do in order to get a meeting in the books or stop. Get.
Mm-hmm. Stop assuming.
Well, yeah. Okay.
That's here's the thing. Stop assuming. Yeah. And this is stop making an ass out of you and potentially also me. Perfect example. You know, this one came in from a disaster recovery, you know, reaching out again to see if new backup and DR recovery options are on your radar for 23. We offer a unique value proposition. We are gold and platinum partners with well-known products such as blah, 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 for both on-premise and cloud. If you're not familiar with these, I'd like to introduce and explain how they compare. Let me know if you have time for a 15 call over the next few days. I'm like, really? You think I've got 50 minutes in the next few days? Yeah. You know what the fuck I'm doing for a living? Or similarly, book a meeting through the calendar. Here's a step. Strip that thing to pieces. Get rid of that shit. Go, hey, reaching out, just want to check in. You're a CISO at a large organization. Obviously, you've got priorities. Some of them probably include compliance, regulatory, and initiatives. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess you're working on your assets. I'm going to guess you're working on this. If and when disaster backup recovery become an issue and become something you want to talk about, here's our contact info. Thanks very much. End. Done. You've done a few things. One, you've recognized what I'm doing. Secondly, you've recognized what I've probably got on my plate. You've actually understood the industry. You've understood your target. You've understood exactly pretty much what a CISO is meant to be doing. And then you turn around and said, hey, you're probably working on this, but if you need to focus on this, give us a shout and let us know. That's it. You've left the ball in my court. You haven't pressured. You haven't done anything else. And actually, if you want to answer, let's say, hey, look, we'll check in 6 months, see how you're doing. And for crying out loud, don't put, we'll talk about that in a second. You know, so, I mean, there's simple stuff. You know, and it's, okay, so here's another example. This is a perfect example. Victoria runs Kalidi. We use them almost as a gate guard, a defense situation, but also research. So I sit down with Victoria and her team, and we have a conversation. In this case, we had a conversation about data. I want to know more efficiently where all of my data is. I kind of know where some of it is. I kind of know where bits of it are. I want to know where the rest of it is. Now, I went out to Varonis, and I went out to a couple of these other companies, and we had a conversation, and their pricing model is just freaking ridiculous. I mean, stupid. I mean, it's for a startup conversation to actually, for a startup organization that's basically building something, to then actually have to write a check with several zeros more than I'm normally used to writing, is ridiculous. So I went to Kalidi, I went to Victoria, and I'm like, hey, I need another one. Let's go through this, because she'd helped us out with some other stuff. So she brought three vendors to the table. Mm-hmm. Now, as part of the deal that I have with her, Victoria knows, and she explains to every single one of those vendors, do not put Chris on a mailing list. Mm-hmm. She spells it out. It's in the contract. So I sit down. I have a meeting with one of them. We have a fantastic set of conversations. I literally go to have a meeting with the second one. I think it was the following day. And in my inbox that morning, I start seeing emails from this vendor, spam emails. And I'm like, what the hell? So then I get on the phone with them, and my first conversation with them is like, so why am I getting spam? Oh, well, that's just part of our process. I'm like, so did you listen to what Victoria says? Oh, yeah, but that's part of our process. And I'm like, and we're done. If you cannot listen to the instructions that are provided to you by my trusted partner,
yep,
then I have no time for you. If you cannot honor the respect and you can't honor what I'm asking for, I have no time for you. We're done. Mm-hmm. End of conversation. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's back to that mutual respect. It's back to that treating me like a human, but being a human in your approach to me.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to my original beef that I was kvetching about on before the call, was the shortcuts, the lack of listening, the lack of active listening, lack of just holding your horses, holding your panties, and just not assuming and following instruction, very clear, blunt instruction. I still don't understand. And I feel like sometimes it's hard for me because we're trying to flip the script here and people still refrain from listening. And, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
I was actually reading another one. Here's the thing, because I mean, I've put it up on LinkedIn, my dear vendor letter. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. There are some which are responding, and some that are responding and taking it well. There was a couple on LinkedIn that took it well, and they were like, we'll feed it back. And there are a couple that are like almost indignant that I should question their tactics. And I'm like, y'all do realize the only reason you're getting this is because of how you're approaching in the first place. It's getting an interesting set of response. There are some which just ignore it. I mean, I've sent one. There's one bloody company I've sent it to like three times now. And bless their cotton socks, they keep sending me the same stuff. Another flipping, you know, I keep getting them. I love them to death, but...
Well, man, you know, you gotta send it to the what the fuck email, and we'll have to reply to them and ask why.
Yeah.
Why in God's name?
Why would you do this to me?
Okay, so we built it up. We gave the instruction of what not to do and what to do. I want to go into some questions. And by the way, folks, I just noticed that here in the Ringstream, I can see more comments than in actually LinkedIn. So that's actually really good.
Yeah, there are a ton of comments in here. I actually want to go through a whole bunch of these.
There's one question that I want to bring up and I want to answer. And I would love for you to add color commentary there. Okay, so we're gonna go down a rabbit hole here. So Mark asked, so we do Here we go. So do 5 minutes worth of research. What's the main things to research to see if my product would be of interest? Now, last week we talked about understanding maturity, CISO maturity, and the importance of that. And I would shortly like you to answer why that's critical in terms of product and context. But what we learned last week in the CISO value distillery, Mark, was that utilizing OSINT to estimate the CISO maturity is critical. So there are a few elements to look for. There's years, first of all, there's what's written on the profile to Chris's point, right? Instructions of what to do and what not to do.
Yeah. And
we mentioned, Chris, years on the job, number of similar jobs, career path and length, certifications, and any public activity. What do you think about those answers?
I think those are good. I think it takes time. And I mean, I think, you know, to Matt's point, that's probably more than 5 minutes. No two ways about it. I think reading the LinkedIn profile, if you can't do that, then again, I don't really don't want to talk with you. Mm-hmm. I laid it out there. It's pretty simple. Now, then you take a look, to your point, take a look at how long I've been a Boom Supersonic. So if you take a look at Boom, you go, huh, early stage startup company, you know, early startup company still. No two ways about it. We're taking funding. So you're like, okay, so they're taking funding. They just took on a CISO. First time around, they've actually dealt with a CISO officially. So the guy's probably walking in my case, the guy, you know, it could be anybody. He's walking in and he's walking into a situation where he's probably going to understand risk, compliance, regulatory, and basic CISO-y stuff.
Mm-hmm.
NIST actually gives you the framework. ISO does as well. NIST gives you the framework of things that I'm probably looking at. If you look at just even the cybersecurity framework, it kind of tells you the things I'm going to be focusing on. And if you, and again, so this goes back to understanding the industry and the business. If you're just coming into this industry and you're just looking at getting into cybersecurity, sales, marketing, business, it behooves you to look at the NIST cybersecurity framework. It behooves you to look at the MITRE ATT&CK framework. It behooves you to look at company constructs, CISOs, and a bunch of other things. Go pick up Gary Hayslip's book. He's written like two or three good books now on being a CISO. Go read those. It's simple. Know your enemy. Know your adversary. Know the person that's going to be on the other end of the phone line. Because if you do that, at least then you stand a chance of hitting them in the right spot. In my case, you know, let's see, second year in on the organization, I've probably got my basics and understandings. I kind of know where stuff is. Now I've got to organize it. Now I've got to settle it down. Now I have to recognize some of the more nuances. Now I've got to probably look at more better logging, efficient thing. Backup DR would be another one. You know, so there's things I'm probably looking at. So if you hit me up and you're like, hey, congratulations on surviving year at Boom. Hope you're doing okay. Hope you got sanity. Happy to send tea and biscuits. Would love at some point in time to have a conversation about what you're doing for the second year being there. I'm making an assumption you probably got NIST and some other stuff to deal with. Hey, we released the fact that we're talking with the Air Force. Guess what? If you've got an answer sense about you, that means you know that I have to deal with DOD's 800-171. You know what's in there if you've done your homework. So now you can turn and say, hey, you're probably focusing on this. If there's anything we can help with, again, you know, to Matt's point. So if you're selling widgets and that widget isn't part of 800-171 on this, guess what? You can just walk away and realize I'm not a prospect. Go focus on the other 299,999 Fortune 300,000 CISOs. If you suddenly go, huh, we're doing stuff in data, we're doing stuff in mobile endpoint, we're doing stuff in cybersecurity framework, we're doing stuff in GRC, governance, risk, and compliance, we're doing stuff in here, hey, it might be of interest. Put it that way. What books did he just recommend? Familiar with this, and Mike, I didn't catch the name.
Yeah.
Gary.
The CISO Manifesto.
Yeah, Gary Hayslip, Hayslip.
I know that he's going to put something out right before RSA too, so be on the lookout.
Yeah, he put this manifesto, but Gary's actually written, I want to say it's like three books, and all of them are absolutely fantastic books. You know, I think this is one of those things, and again, from a sales perspective thing, if you go, huh, Chris probably isn't the right person to reach out to at this point in time, even if you just shoot a note and say, hey, I know now isn't the right time to have a conversation with you because I'm pretty much assured I know what you're working on, but I know maybe in a year or two it is. Good luck. Hope it goes well. Totally look forward to talking with you in 12 months or catch you at a conference. And that's it. You don't need to say, here's a portfolio, here's our white paper, here's some fucking propaganda. Hey, do you fancy a 50? Just leave it there. It's simple. You know, there's a way
to do it. And just follow up to see how you're doing. I mean, at the end of the day, we're humans. That goes a very long way. It's not only about the transaction. It's about, hey, let's just catch up. I'm around. It's a community.
Well, I mean, shit, I put it out there exactly how I'm doing. And for the most part, it's not good, but that's a different conversation to have.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's too much. I mean, I look at this, you know, urgent response needed. Oh, yeah, that's a different one. You know, I wanted to reach out once more and could you do this? Can you do this? I think the other problem is as well is these 15-minute meetings. One, it's never 15 minutes. Let's be very, very blunt about this. Secondly, stop talking to me about you wanting to partner with me. We both know that's bullshit. We both know that you've got something to sell and the chances are I become a target. It's not a partnership. It isn't a partnership until you've actually not just put value in, but I see value coming out, at which point it's gone from sales to maybe a partnership at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Perfect example of that would be NewSpire. You know, Maria and the team over there, that was a transaction that occurred. And as we have worked through the installation and integration, it has become way more of a partnership. Now I know I can shoot a message off and say, hey, look, I got a question, got some things on this one, give me some thoughts. That's a partnership. It's a partnership when they send me info going, hey, heads up on this. It doesn't start that way. You want it to start that way, but that evolves. That takes time. You don't just walk in and go, let's have a partnership, because guess what? The partnership is me opening my checkbook. I'm a cynical bastard, and I kind of know this.
By the way, folks, if you have any questions, folks, drop them in the comments or we can bring you on live. Just let us know.
Yeah, I'm going to run through this because there were some good ones. All right, yeah.
All right, let's do it.
All right, okay, so.
I see here Sharon says she does everything you say. Oh, my God. I wish someone would do everything I say. In the meantime, it's me doing everything my wife says.
Hey, you chose to get married. No comment. I'm just leaving it at that.
I was locked in 5 years ago. What are you talking about? All right. Let's go through.
All right. Let's have a look. Ronco's just said, don't forget. Automation is by definition part of the causality. And Matt's right. But there's, you have to adapt and change with the times. So Tracy says. This goes hand in hand, being a trusted advisor, deciphering information, and educator. Best practice, access to the same information. Yeah, absolutely 100%. I don't need somebody to sell to me. You know, I really don't. I can't. I mean, here's the other thing. We're at 23. I have everything I'm working on within a project standpoint is locked in. End of conversation. Tactical stuff I'm still working through. So there are two, I got two streams. I have here's the company goals. You know, the company's goals are X and I fit in these areas. That's locked in, done, dusted. Those are my projects. We have tactical projects, moving our headquarters, tactical project. Do we need stuff for that? Yeah, are we buying it? Absolutely. And there's other things in there, but those are very, very different. And then, you know, to Tracy's point, you know, there's knowing about coming in and having a conversation from a service stuff and educator stuff and a few other things rather than coming in and selling. I think we hit Matt's thing just about the sections, find a blog. I don't write blogs. I really don't. I write on LinkedIn is my blog. Mm-hmm. You know, in my case, LinkedIn is my blog. I don't write blogs. We do this podcast. I'm online plenty of other times on webinars. I make it pretty easy to find me. I think Will Fox is right. The KPIs, and unfortunately, again, this needs to be a leadership, sales leadership, business development leadership conversation. It's the quality. I want quality over quantity.
It does need to be a leadership conversation, but in some cases, you got leadership who doesn't understand.
Yeah,
you know, and they doesn't need even more. Understand. They need that training themselves.
They need more of those damn letters, the ones I'm sending in. You know, that's the thing. Every single time I'm getting somebody, I'm sending, I should just copy you. I apologize. My bad. Important to be. What have we got? Kaledi. I like the approach.
Who else in our community? I mean, not necessarily on the chief information security officer level, you know, any practitioner. Who else is vocal about these kind of issues and also providing alternatives or at least instruction on what to do and what not to do? I know that, you know, we have you, we have Ira, we have Alan, we have all the folks who have been on Audience First.
Yeah, there's a couple of folks. I mean, there's some folks on, well, there's some folks we've called out, I've called out on LinkedIn. I'm like, hey, we need to have a conversation. I think there's a few of them I've called out that are good people. I don't see enough. Maybe that's the problem. There's not enough folks standing up. And this is, you know, with you and I mean, if we're at Cyber Week or at a DEF CON, I would love you and I to run through a couple of skits, run through the do's, don'ts, whys, why nots, and stuff like that to people. I think that would be huge. And, you know, if we end up getting some stuff done with courses and things, I think that would be huge because that's a bigger reach. I think more people need to stand up. Another one. Fucking Muppet on LinkedIn. Excuse my French.
Puppies and curse words are allowed on this podcast.
Oh my good gods, yeah. There was some Muppet who hit me up. Where the hell was he? It's on my Slack channel because I sent it to the IT team. I'm like, who the hell is this Muppet? There we go. Was that it? Nope, that was the We Won Money. There it is. There's a company that hit me up on LinkedIn. He's like, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I work with this technology solutions company. It looks like you're one of our clients. And I'm like, I've never heard of you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I shot him a note, and I'm like, that is literally, I've never heard of you.
So next step, do not claim you're a client if you're not really a client.
Well, okay, so this one gets better. This is actually going to be part of today's LinkedIn post. So this is, I got a cyber ed board. Yeah, I work with the companies. Like, I know we've mentioned grabbing drinks, and it was, come and have a drink. And I'm like, thanks, I didn't realize we were a client. Who are you doing for us and when? And he's like, oh, in 2020, we helped you do this. And I'm like, okay, so prior client. He's like, well, the contract's still active. I hit the team up here. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? You know, It's nice having him. That's what was going on. Yeah, we haven't touched him in like 3 years. And then what I actually got back was, well, actually, we're doing this. And I'm like, oh, you used the actually word. Red rag to a bull. Never use the actually word to a CISO, especially a large, hairy, 6'3" Scottish warlock. Because one of two things, if you go, well, actually, that means I'm about to cut you off at your knees. Anesthetic.
I miss D&D, or I miss the podcast D&D, now that we're talking violence.
Yeah, to do that again. So I bust again. And I'm actually going to bust out later on today. And the LinkedIn post is all about the use of the word. Because you as well as I, you know, if you were talking, it puts you down. Smackdown is coming, and not only is Smackdown coming, it's a safer facing. I'm better than now, holier than now. It's all that bullshit. It's that aggressive thing. Well, actually, you know, I hate that word. That is one of the most abusive words in the history. It's like red rag to a bull. It really is. Well, actually.
Yeah. Tracy said here, Tracy, who's a longtime listener and who's always on every single week, gave us 3 rules for better meetings. But I have an issue with number 2. If you're not adding value to a meeting, leave. The problem is nobody knows what the hell value is to a CISO. They don't know
Here's the other thing, and I'll actually. So number one, I agree with to some degree. So we have weekly meetings where the entire IT, InfoSec, and finance folks get together. Because we want to understand what's going on in each other areas. Big meeting, core team lead, everybody else listens unless they need to input. Number two, they're not adding value. I actually don't like that. I love sitting at the back of meetings and listening, especially if it's working with the engineering or the aviation or some of the other folks. I want to listen. I want to find out what's going on. I need and want a finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. Frequent meetings, I have an issue with. I have touch bases, one-on-ones with my team every single week. It's a core amount of time that we can sit down, 30 minutes. We sit down and go, how are we doing? What's going on? How's everything gone on? What do we need to focus on? Where are you? Let's look at the list. Let's look at what's going on for the next week. It's a great reset. And it's a great way of doing it. Now, I do disagree with the amount of meetings and other things that are going on. I'm getting to a point now in my calendar where I will block time out to be able to get work done. So, and then people don't put meetings in it, I tend to get lost.
You mentioned that you sit with a CFO, you sit with finance. Why yeah. would a security practitioner sit with the CFO and finance?
A couple of different reasons. One, education. CFO needs to understand what we're doing. CFO also needs to understand and realize from a risk and a probability matrix standpoint, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? CFO, at the end of the day, my budget runs through the CFO. So if I come up and I put a budget in front of them and he's like, and I'm like, and I haven't taken the time to educate and explain in a way that he understands, then we have a problem. So part of my job is to sit down and go, are you comfortable in understanding why we're doing what we're doing, how we're doing, and everything else? And if not, crying out loud, now's your time to ask questions. And so that's a fairly regular set of conversations that occur. Plus, the business changes. You know, I don't have my finger on every piece of the business. And so I work with them to try to better understand what bits I may be missing. Mm-hmm.
All right, we got a big treat.
Oh, yeah.
On a roll here. Catch up.
Yeah, she's right. Case in point number two, what if you invite you to a meeting and feel you're not adding or can't do? Yeah, I drop. End of conversation. Or I'll be like, hey, I'm out of here. I don't have time to waste. Hmm. And yeah, I'm not trying to use Musk as a business guru. I think there's a balance. I think it's a balance. It's like anything. Make your own rules up.
Yeah.
You know, there's a finite amount of hours in a day. I have to research. I have to understand what the trends are going on. I have work to do. I have folks to work with. I have folks to run. I have a business to keep accountability with. I have a business to safeguard, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And among there, I've got vendors wanting 15 minutes of time. So I think that's the other thing that folks have to realize is I'm not sitting there just to wait for a vendor to ask me for 15 minutes, especially if that vendor or a different vendor says, hey, we'll pay you $125 for the time. Then I'm going to tell you to go pound sand.
All right. We have just a little bit more time for a few more questions if anybody wants to come on. Otherwise, shall we impart or do we have anything else that we want to break down? Because we went through three, I think. We're already at 40 minutes.
We're getting more vendors with meetings on Fridays. Oh, yeah, that's not a bad one. Yeah, I like that idea. I need to probably get better at actually sectioning off a time. So Mark's got a really good point on that one.
I think he does what, Fridays or something?
Fridays. I like that. I think that's a really nice way of doing it. I know I need to get better at blocking time. But again, I don't hate to say it. The reason I'm not spending time with vendors, I got Victoria. Sorry. I got Victoria. Yeah,
they're onto something special there.
Kalidi's great. I'm going to do a LinkedIn post. I'm going to try and get it out this week. And it literally is almost going to be a George and the Dragon thing. Because when you think about it, we're getting hit up with vendors every 5 bloody minutes, and I don't have time for it. So my job is really to go find somebody, Victoria and the Kaledi team, and say, hey, these are my projects I need help with. The rest of them I'll deal with because I know the vendors I want to deal with, but these are the projects I want help with. And just let her be that battering ram / shield. I mean, that's how it's meant to be. Yeah, I, um,
Bring it on, Tracy. Oh, yeah, okay, Quality. Cool. Quality is a strategic partner. I will say that we have a lot of you know, values in common, and the technology is great. The idea is great as well, and it's working. So they're actually on the podcast next week, so that's loads of fun. We talked about some live in cybertech. We talked about some pretty nasty challenges in the industry and how we could, you know, solve them. Not overnight, obviously. It's a journey, but all right, we have Tracy who's coming on. How's it going?
Hey.
Hi guys. Can you hear
Welcome
me?
Welcome back. Yeah, we can hear you. Thank you for joining us for 15 weeks straight.
No problem. It's one of my favorite podcasts, actually. I think it's just because it's pretty much straight to the point, you know. And, you know, the cursing and humor all to it. So I'll give you that. Kudos to that. So, Chris, just with respect to you.
Hang on.
Oi! Take it down a notch.
Bloody rebels.
All right.
So we're talking about basically not only just the meeting and the value of the meeting, but getting to the point of having a meeting. And Chris, what I said earlier is that I think that you know, because of the dynamics and so much has changed with respect to technology, your vendors, the customers now are more informed and more educated as to what they want, because they have access to all the same information that the salesperson does. So, mm-hmm. you know, to what I was saying, I think that salespeople, you know, they're doing themselves a disservice if they are not changing their approach to their clients. And like I said, it's, you know, you're no longer a salesperson. You're a trusted advisor. You're an educator. You're the person that's able to decipher all of this. You know, I hate to say it because, you know, I'm a salesperson and yes, I know sales, and, you know, they'll spill off the verbal diarrhea and that's it. At the end of the day, I think it's, it's educating and it's adding that value. And I don't like the word sales. I like the word trusted advisor, because that's basically what a business is.
Here's my challenge with the trusted advisor thing. Uh-oh. Ruh-roh. Tracy's gone all 56K modem on us. Tracy, did we lose you?
Dialing all right. in from all the way in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah, see, this is the problem. Y'all out in the Cayman Islands, you need to get something better than the 56K modem. Have the sun, have the sand, get better internet. There we are. Oh, nope.
I've got you.
I'm still here.
All right. Yeah. You got
cut
it.
Cut out good. Just a little bit over there.
Yeah, we got cut out some buffering. I got you back.
All right, so your beef with trusted advisor.
Yeah, let me have a so.
I always like to say because.
All right, we're gonna drop off Tracy just for the time being. Sounds like she's because of connection issues. Okay. So.
Yeah, might have to do text on that one. So let's talk about trusted advisor for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Trusted. Trust is earned, not given. You don't walk in to my shop as a trusted advisor. You walk in as somebody that I'm happy to have a conversation with, potentially, situation dependent. You walk in as somebody, truthfully, I don't trust. You walk in as somebody that has to earn that trust. So I think that's one of those things where you might want to come and say, I'm your trust advisor. I'm going to write back and say, hell no, you're not. I couldn't trust you further than I can throw you. Now, the difference is I can throw you a long way. But that still doesn't mean you're a trusted advisor. I don't like it. Somebody can come in and you can be a consultant, you can be an advisor, you earn that trust. You know, Kiladi has earned that trust. Maria has earned that trust. There's some folks over at CrossConnect that have earned that trust. There's a couple of other teams that have earned that trust. The team here, let's face it, has that trust. But that has been earned over a period of time. So eventually, yes, I would love to have a number of trusted advisors, but you don't walk in that stance, and no chance in hell. And anybody that does, I think I'd question their decision-making, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. We have time for one more question. April, who's been on as well quite a few mm-hmm. times, she mentioned that salespeople get hit up as well with gift cards and meetings. I get hit up with gift cards and meetings as well. It's annoying. She hates this too, but you know, she's suggested to her company to offer donations to charities, right, as opposed to gift cards. And you know, I've done this in the past as well. What are your thoughts?
I've seen it, and hell, I remember suggesting it years ago. So I mean, we did it years ago. We used to suggest it. We used to offer it. And I think with the Tinkerers, so we do this with the Tinkerers. We'll bring a number of companies in to pitch to us as the Tinkerers, and all that money goes to charity, which I think is a fantastic way of doing it. My only concern on that one is I don't want the guilt, shall we say, one better way of putting it. You know, because charities obviously need whatever funds can be given to them. If I don't take the meeting, they don't get the thing. And if it's not someone interested, they don't get the thing. So I think that's a balance. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing to have a conversation with. And to me, I think that card only gets played when the meeting has been set. Mm-hmm. You hold that card in reserve. You're like, hey, you know, back to that early conversation. Hey, I see you're probably doing this. You're likely doing this. If there's something we can help you with, give us a shout. If I give you a shout and we go like, hey, let's set up half hour talk. We do half hour talk. And at the end of that half hour talk, you turn around and say, hey, look, thank you very much for the time. We would like to donate X amount to the charity of your choice. At that point in time, I think it is the best time to offer that. Not up front. Don't do it as a guilt trip. Don't do it as an incentive. You do it on the very back end. Because guess what? That speaks volumes. That will get around to other people faster than you trying the guilt trip up front shit.
Amen. All right. We're headed towards the end of the session. I want to keep this under 50 minutes. Short and sweet. One thing you want to impart in the audience today before we sign off, Chris.
I think there's a couple of things. It's part of it. So there's probably two. It's mutual respect. And we've said it before. You know, somebody hit me up again. They're like, oh, you don't know how hard it is. I'm like, fuck you. I started several companies. And the very first thing you learn is how to do sales. And you learn how to do it properly. Mm-hmm. You know, so never look at a CISO and go, you don't know how hard it is to be in sales. Chances are they probably do. Chances are they've probably done it. Chances are they could probably tell you a thing or two, which is probably why they haven't fucking talked to you in the first place. So a little bit of mutual respect. Second one, read the intro. If you are asking me for my time, and you haven't given an equal and equitable amount of time up front, you're already out of balance. It isn't going to work.
Ditto.
Oh, I have one other thing to say. Obviously, as Danny alluded to at the beginning, we have a conversation up front. Obviously, if you're listening to this live, the last 24 hours have been absolutely shitty for people in Turkey and looks like Syria and a few other places. So I know I've reached out to a bunch of folks I know in Turkey. If you have friends in Turkey, if you have family in Turkey, do me a favor, reach out, make sure they're doing okay. If any of you are in Turkey and you hear this, our thoughts and prayers and love and hugs are with you. So, and if any of you can help in any way, please do so. So, huge amount of empathy going out to the folks over in Turkey for the shit show that's going on over there at the moment. Yeah, just wanted to end with that.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. All right. Well, this has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are going to be back next week with much more to kvetch about. So stay tuned. I'm going to be posting
whole week of inbox lunacy.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right, Chris, you take care. You're not in the hangar today. You're in an office, I see. So enjoy enjoy that, though. Jet fuel sometimes is fun. Sometimes it's fun.
Jet fuel is fun. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks. Water. Yeah, thanks for joining us. We are out.
Take care, everybody. Have a good one.